I guess we should probably get started. Where we are discussing Raccoon, part one. Lovely little yeah, so we played about, well, some of us played about 2.5 hours of it. No names mentioned, went on for, what was it, Stanton? 6 hours?
I think it maybe 6.5. I don't really remember. I just
Surprised
remember
you
being
didn't finish
six.
Yeah, you're like 3/4 of the way through, probably.
Well, so the problem is too though, is that there are cutscenes that go on forever, and you cannot do anything but just hit space to continue.
Was judging the stopping point for the second part. Cutscene. I was like, okay, well, we're about 2.5 hours in. This is good. And then, like 10 minutes later, like the scene's finally over. Like I can finally like do my own thing. So I was like, okay, wow. It's check. So what did you guys think? You guys like it so far?
It's very cute. I love that. It seems like all of the NPCs have like individual personalities that they put a lot of work into making them feel like individuals.
Yeah, for sure.
I think cute is the right word.
Yeah.
Not so difficult so far, so it's slow in the beginning, I guess.
The whole time playing it, I'm trying to place where like this hospital is located, and I keep getting a feeling that it's taking place in Japan right after the tsunami.
Think so
Interesting.
too. I mean, I don't.
Because it's like they're talking about some areas being destroyed and flooded, and then there's also like if you're reading around, there's like news clippings or staff memos about radiation and everything. So it's like, and then there's also like the mother and son kind of have a Japanese type of look to them, but then there's also like Tony and what was it, Sue? So that's kind of like throwing me off there. So it's just, I don't know.
Been just dubbing, you know. I mean, it could have been just the trans. I mean, I don't know. Is it a Japanese game originally?
Not sure.
I don't
But I mean, it's
know.
like you have like Tony and Sue who don't really look, they look more Caucasian than anything else, as well as Cora.
Is I
So.
think it's in a.
I can tell you where it is if you want, but if you would rather just find out in the game.
It's revealed in the story, then I guess we should probably let it be revealed in the
Yeah.
story.
Yeah.
It is revealed.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I think she is. It was a female developer. It was the person that. The idea. Oh, she's American Japanese. So she.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's definitely some. It seems like some of the people that worked on it. Of course, you can kind of tell, but it was made through RPG Maker.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting some like undertones of To the Moon while playing this game.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Same, yeah.
And the deeper into it you play, the stronger that feeling gets.
Yep.
And I'm not gonna explain more about that because I've played farther than other people.
Yeah,
So.
yeah. We've probably played about the same amount. You might have gotten a little bit farther ahead of me.
Okay.
But yeah, because I've had to play to find the stopping point for this second part.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It definitely that kind of To the Moon vibe. Have you played To the Moon?
I haven't played that, but I watched a playthrough of that too. So,
oh my God.
sorry.
No, we no no that's fine. That's fine. No, playthroughs are, I mean, you definitely get a good, I think it's good to still play them, mm-hmm. if you have time, but like playthroughs are, you know, you still get a good feel for the game.
Yeah.
But yeah, we played that with Game Chat last year and it was so funny. Like, it was me and, like, you know, Stanton. Franco, were you in the group at the time? You were.
Yes,
right?
I was.
Yeah. Franco. So like me and like five guys, and we're all just like, yeah, we cried.
Yeah, I cried watching the playthrough. So,
Indiebox is going to be doing a physical release of the game.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's awesome. So, we have the the other game coming out. I think it's later this year.
Maybe early the next second, year. The sequel?
The sequel or a prequel?
Yeah.
But it's about the doctors. So that's coming out. I'm really excited about that. I cried throughout the entire second half of that game. Anyways. Kuen, the game that we're talking about. but yeah, you definitely get those vibes of To the Moon while playing it, I think. And I think a good word for it, I mean, is just enchanting. It's very cute. It's very enchanting. It's very...
engrossing.
Very, very engrossing. Very whimsical.
Yep. Also, like, some undertones of... what was that game we played? What's the name of it? That one that you go into that weird world.
Yes. Undertale?
No. You play as that girl and take the pills to go into the other...
Frambo.
Yeah, Frambo. That's right, yeah. Like, I felt a little bit of that as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it does have that alternate, kind of alternate reality. It's very interesting how you can always see this kind of alternate be with the little creatures and stuff that you can see the human count, you know, the creature counterparts, the humans that are in the hospital.
Yes.
Interesting, and I'm very interested to see where it goes. I am. Yeah, so anyways, like, so you guys are liking the characters so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, this is a tough little, you know, startup point because it's we're just getting cranking here, and I felt like the game really didn't get moving until you actually, you know, went off it.
Frank goes bored.
No, it just didn't get going until, you know. Yeah. It was just the walk around and click on everything for the first 20 minutes, you know, just to get used to everything. And then once you got to the other world with the other characters and with the mushrooms and what were the other things called?
Lebo? Is it Lebo's?
Labels
and the pods,
cave buds,
That's buds. What it is. Yeah, mm-hmm. Buds, yes,
little buds,
and the rad, yeah,
little buds,
and the
no
rad
holds
rooms.
Barred,
yeah, rad rooms and the bedrooms.
Yes, and, I had mushrooms pop up in my backyard today, and I was like, ah, oh, you're just white, I don't know which one you are, step in you or not.
Yeah, you're not red or blue, which one are you? And I did laugh at the one line with the ones that are hanging on the wall shrooms.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
there was a guy down here before in suspenders who wanted to eat me, and
yeah, reference to he wanted to get an extra life, and I told him I'm not that type of mushroom. One thing in this game that is driving me crazy. The stupid mouse pointer.
Too big?
Yeah, and you can't get rid of it. And you don't even use it in the game, so why is it even there?
I always just push it to the side. I always just
I do, but then it goes full screen, and then it's, like, bothering me because it's just right there.
Oh. Little crosshair would have done the trick.
Yeah.
I can push mine off the screen.
I was trying to do that, too, and it just wasn't working.
Yeah, I can. I mean, I guess, I mean, can you use the mouse pointer? Can you?
You can to, like, select items and stuff like that, but, I mean, what's the point of having it if it's all going to be keyboard-based stuff?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, actually, I started using the keyboard, and then I went to the mouse after about 10, 15 minutes, because I'm playing it on my little keys are real small. So it's like I'm getting carpal tunnel.
What are you
go to the mouse?
Using the mouse for though?
Moving around, you can click and it'll go really? To where you click.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yeah. And it takes the smart. It seems like it takes the smart path to you know where you clicked. So except for the holes, I kept falling. Well, you were supposed to keep falling through the holes.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Oh gosh. I made like 5 holes before I got to the back.
I don't think there's any way you cannot make 5 holes. I think
that's 5 or 6 for me.
But that was I think the second place I had to go. Kind of got stuck, and I'm like, what am I supposed to be doing here? And until you realize you have to fall into the right area.
Yeah.
The other spot was right after I handed off the marble and got to use the bathroom. I went in the bathroom. I just looked around and said the door was blocked, and I just walked right back out. I didn't bother to flush the toilet.
Oh, jeez.
What amazes me is that this hospital has so many just, like, open, just, like, boarded up doors.
Well, what's even more concerning, though, is you have the shift leader that is so easily bribed by a peanut choo-choo.
Yes, that's correct. And then,
like, she's adamant that you, like, stay away and don't go near here. And then it's like, ooh, look, candy. It's like, well, I guess I can step away for 5 minutes then. And I'm like, what good are you?
I think
maybe the first 2.5 hours, I think you guys have done it, like, once. 2 more times.
Just bribed her once,
Yeah.
2 more times. In the next, like, in the next part. Easily bribed. So, Malin, you work in a hospital, right?
Uh-huh, yes.
So give us a perspective on the security of this hospital.
So, when I was watching this playthrough, before I found out what happened to the hospital and why it's like this.
Yeah.
Everything was driving me insane. Like, he gets up from the bed and the IV is still plugged into his bed, not actually to his body. What? There's holes in the walls everywhere. And like in a ward where there are like adults that don't have their presence of mind and children.
Same area.
Them being together doesn't necessarily bother me, but like there's holes in the wall. So like kids are going to, if you let them, they're going to get up and crawl around. And then like they talk about Kisaburo, like trying to go outside and like dig in the dirt. Like, and you'll see later, they have like a door that they don't want them to go through. So they like, put a note on it and said, Kisaburo, don't go through this door. Like,
yeah, transfer his room so he can't get in there.
That's not how that works.
I mean, that's the thing. You have the door for you to go that pretty much leads directly to the outside. You have another door in the kids' room that goes to this really sketchy other room. And then you have a power panel in the bathroom of one of the rooms. And then you also have just a boarded up doorway in another bathroom.
So I told myself that I wasn't just gonna go off on everything that's not realistic with the hospital, because then that would be all I would say for like 3 hours. So if you have questions, I'd be happy to answer, but otherwise I'm gonna pretend like it's an imaginary world, just like Morizora's Forest, and just be like, this is just how it is, it's okay.
yeah yeah Yeah, I was like, there are so many health code violations in this hospital.
There's a cat in the cafeteria. There's
worked in a hospital, and you can immediately be like, there's a lot of things not right about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. But definitely the boarded up doorways, especially. Like, I was like, that's not so poorly boarded up. Like, you know, and everyone in the hospital's like, fix those doors. We need to board that up properly. and then they just walk away. Okay.
Yeah. Cool.
That's fine.
Yeah. If you look at the kid's meds in his room, the list of meds, those are meds typically given for a type of lung cancer, if you're interested.
Oh, the other thing too, there's just vials of blood just hanging out on the countertops everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
No. No.
And vials of blood just chilling out, like, on every countertop possible.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that is interesting information. And medications usually given for a type of lung cancer. That's concerning.
And that is that's probably why the doctor told him at first that he couldn't leave his room. People that are getting chemotherapy are typically on neutropenic precautions. That means that your white blood cell count is so low that being exposed to anything that might make you sick will make you sick,
right,
as opposed to a normal person, which their immune system has a chance to fight it. So basically, neutropenic precautions, you can't have food, or you shouldn't have food from outside the hospital that hasn't been prepared a certain way. Everybody has to wear masks and gloves when they come in to work with you to protect you from them, basically. So. Aww.
Interesting. Now, does anybody else find it? Now, maybe I could be mistaken, but slightly odd that he's the only one that doesn't have a name yet. He's referenced as boy. Did his test results have a name?
Mm-mm. And if you look on the door of his room, it just says boy's room.
Why have I not noticed this? That's crazy. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I was just actually, right before you said that, Franco, I was like, what's, because I was like, oh, poor thing. And I was like, what is his name? And I started going through this walkthrough, and it's a good thing you said that, or else I would have been looking forever. The thing. Aw. Really? I'm surprised his mom, like, doesn't call him by his name.
Well, it could come into play later. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
It's like everybody else has got a name.
It was strange, Franco. Yeah. Good eye. Good, or, yeah. Good. Yeah. I really like this is going really strange, but, like, I notice sounds in games, like, and one thing I love about these, like, sprite games is that they have amazing, like, sounds, and, like, sounds when you, like, open things and close things. It's, like, it has this little click. That's really silly, but for some reason I really enjoy that.
Like, the water drop sound whenever you, like, open something, like, in another part, so now you can go through.
Yeah, like a puzzle solved or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've done something. You've achieved.
Yeah, I made something happen.
Yes.
Yay!
All I know is I feel like, who was it? Marv from Home Alone with filling all the sinks with water.
Yeah, I filled one and I'm like, okay, that's enough.
I had the exact same thought. I was like, I'm left-handed.
Yeah. You know, so,
all the sinks with water.
I'm like going around to all the sinks, filling them with water, leaving all the toilet seats up. And
just because you can.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect, because I have the exact same thought. Oh my goodness.
That would be great if that was a puzzle. That you had to, at some point, to solve something, you had to leave all the toilet seats up.
Exactly. Well, like, I know now, and this doesn't give anything away, but, like, in the second part, in the second part, you get a bucket, and so you have to, like, use the bucket and fill the bucket up with water. But, you know, like, I mean, I'm worried, kind of. Like, I think I'm thinking about it too much in that, like, I'm like, should I fill this sink with water or should I not? Is this going to affect something? Like, am I going to, like, fill all the sinks with water and go back to the, to the, like, this other world, and it's going to be, like, completely flooded?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be, like, all my fault. Or, like, later on, it's going to be, like, well, all the sinks are filled with water. And so, like, you know, I don't know, like, a big deluge just comes and wipes out the entire town.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
These are the things that I think about whenever I turn those faucets on. I'm like, I don't know if I should fill this with water or not. But I have a feeling this will haunt me later, but it probably won't. It's fun.
It is fun.
Yes, especially, I guess, because it's a one-way mechanic. It doesn't let you empty the sink.
Yeah.
Really weird. Totally weird. Like and that's exactly why I feel like I'm doing something that's, like, that something's going to happen. But, oh well. All the sinks are filled with water now, so too bad. And I fill my bucket up with water, and I just fill up the sink again.
Well, that's interesting. Apparently there was a To the Moon and Raccoon bundle.
Oh, that's perfect. That's perfection.
Yeah.
I think I saw it when I was in the game and choosing it for it. I saw the bundle, but I hadn't made a decision yet. And I was like, well, I already have To the Moon, so it doesn't really make sense for me to buy the bundle. But yeah. Yeah, good combination. Think about the, maybe, you know, Madeline might know, or, you know, but if you know anything beyond this part, but what do you guys think about the boy who comes to visit you?
When I first saw him, I was like, oh gosh, you're going to suck my blood.
Red eyes, man. Of course, it doesn't mean anything. Like,
no, it means anime. Vampire.
I mean, you know, in anime, like, you know, sometimes you can have purple hair and it just, you know, purple eyes. But I'm a little untrustworthy of him.
Yeah,
same here. My first reaction was this. When he, you know, it's kind of wary when he's talking to somebody. Oh, bless you. If that was same thing with, well, at first, kind of Uma, when somebody tells you, don't tell anybody else.
You know. And the boy's like, okay. Just like,
right, yeah.
Who told you about strangers?
Yeah. Right.
Like, he's so trusting. He's so trusting, right. And he's so, like, open-hearted. Like, I'm just like, oh, poor little thing. Yeah.
So, yeah, the only thing I know, he's got a bandage on his head.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's up with that? So,
and he's like, I'm in the room across the hall from you, and
there is no yabby room, right?
Well, there's room is locked.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the nameplate is blank. It just says blank's room. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
And then plus, like, he comes in the middle of the night, you know? And it's always, like, he always has these, like, he wakes up, sound, and then he drifts back to sleep. And there's Yami just staring at him.
Yeah, that would creep me out.
It keeps confusing him, like, for his mother.
Oh, yeah, it keeps, exactly.
This is probably an experience I give my patients every night I'm at work. Because it makes noise for me to open the door sometimes, but then I'd walk in really quiet to, like, make sure they're still breathing and stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, standing over them, watching them, are you breathing? And sometimes they wake up. I had a lady be, like, scream and jump when she woke up. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Just want to make sure you're alive. Go back to sleep.
Yeah, I guess that's a tough call. Whether you turn on the light or leave the light off or, you know.
It's the angel of death.
Yeah, dressed in a nurse's, yeah. Nurse's uniform.
Yeah, that would be a definite tip off. It's like, yeah, if I were you and she tells you, don't tell anybody I was standing here.
I am really pleased to see nurses wearing scrubs in this game and not the stereotypical nurse outfit that no one actually wears since like 50 years.
Right, exactly. Now that's a good point. Something I didn't really notice, but yeah, now that you mention it, that's true. It's true. It's oftentimes they have them like those little like white nurses uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, like, well, so far, even though some of us have played ahead and watched it being played, technically we haven't seen yet, really. We haven't helped anyone yet. What are you most interested in seeing, like, their backstory?
Hmm.
No, I mean, you can kind of figure who on your floor that you're going to probably have something to do with or eventually find out about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm interested in one of them. I'm probably most interested in seeing the one that you're collecting the marbles for.
Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm most interested in hearing her backstory and about like her friend about and what happened there, because I can only imagine that it's something really tragic.
I want her too, because I know who the friend is and I know where they are and I want to get them together so badly right now.
This would be your story that you would love. I think at the beginning, when I was watching it, I really was interested in Tony because I was like, literally all I have to do is bring him a cup of coffee and then I can get him to talk to me a little bit more. Yeah. But the coffee machine is broken, so it should be so easy, but you're making me wait.
I know.
That stupid nurse in his room is like
he's just standing there and he's like, yeah, Tony's a grouch. I'm like, all you're doing is standing here giving me redundant information.
And then you go into the cafeteria too and it's like, oh, this is where the hot coffee is. It's like, can I have one?
Yeah,
I have 25 G's. Like,
yes.
Come whatever on already.
Can I please buy a coffee? I'm really thirsty. It's not for me, it's for my friend.
And then you talk to the chef and you're like expecting him to be like, well, what can I get you? And you're like, I'll have a coffee, but it's like, no, you're not offering me anything, even though you're surrounded by food.
Exactly. No, just information.
Yeah, it's a really bad cafeteria. You can't get any food.
Helpful information. Instead, they allow cats to hang out there. I'm not really sure I want to eat in a cafeteria anyways. It allows this girl to bring in like 5 cats.
Well, she's not supposed to have the cat there.
But they're right there. They're right there. It's not like that she's hiding like in a room somewhere. She's right there in the cafeteria with 5 cats.
Well, it's also a seeing eye cat too.
Yeah, and this is a cafeteria. So.
Oh my god.
Apologies.
That's all right.
It was too easy.
That was easy, yes.
In a cat cafe, girl. Take your cats out next door to the cat cafe.
Mm-hmm.
You're opening one of those in Boston.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Cat cafe or maid cafe?
No, cat cafe. Are they opening a maid cafe, too?
I don't know. I wouldn't be too surprised if they did.
A what cafe?
Maid.
Maid? M-A-I-D?
Yeah.
It's where all the servers dress as like, stereotypical Japanese, like, you know, like maids in
the Lolita forms.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like Hooters, but the Japan version.
And they call you master and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to make it clear, everyone, I'm not interested in the maid cafe. I'm interested in the cat cafe.
Okay.
I won't be going there.
The cat cafe?
What signature food could they have?
Hairballs.
That'd be a really, really bad matzo ball soup.
Yeah.
Bowls of milk you have to lick up.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it would just be probably coffee. I mean, I think the big draw is that they have cats there. So, you know, you get a coffee, you pet a cat.
And the whole floor is just sand.
So, I don't know the logistics. I should do some investigating.
Yeah. Well, seeing as I'm highly allergic to cats, I'd probably not survive there at all.
Stay away. Stay away, Stanton. Yeah, so anyway, so yeah, she has all the cats there. So you said that you were interested in Tony's story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, is there a certain person that you're interested to hear the story about?
Who, me?
Dude, Frank, yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, Sue interests me. I just want to see. And actually, the cat lady. So what's, volunteer, just spend all day.
Randos.
You know, it's like, yeah. Randos, yeah.
I do like the art chick, too. She's cool.
Yeah.
I like her.
Now, is she a patient or... First, I thought she was a patient.
It is unclear from what I remember.
Yeah.
I don't think you ever really got a one way or the other kind of
thing. Right, a vibe. Right.
Yeah. But she is, if you read the little brochure on the counter, she's one of the towel cape heroes. And it says that they're like patients and volunteers that work together. So, not sure.
Gotcha.
Either. Which only makes sense because she's an artist. You know, she has to contain that air of mystery about her. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain character that you're interested in? Well, even you've blasted through 6 hours of it, so you probably know them all.
No. I got, three left?
I have
Sue... And what's the other one? Because I've seen Tony, I've seen Kisser, whatever his name is there, and and Emma or Gemma.
Gemma. Oh yeah, Gemma and her husband.
Yeah, Winston.
Yeah, Winston. Yeah.
So I've done those three. So I have Sue. And is there anyone else?
Coffee guy?
That's Tony.
That's Tony.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's three more that I have to do, so I'm not sure who else.
I mean, you still have, the weird kid that visits you at nighttime.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe your own story.
Possibly.
The puzzles get any tough for this?
Or
just crazy fetch quests.
So you move on to Gemma's story, and that one's just kind of a pain to go through. There's a lot of avoiding and timed events. But so far, that was the toughest one to get through.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that I probably agree. Subaru's story, but
I'm sure now that I looked it up, and I was surprised that it was just released at 2017. I was like, boy, this felt like a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
RPG
done in that kind of style. I mean, To the Moon is a fairly new release as well. I mean, it's just in the past. Probably. But, you know, but I think To the Moon was made with RPG Maker as well.
Yeah,
so it's just a super, I mean, not an easy platform to make games. I mean, you still have to make they still have to come up with the game idea and make a good game, but it's just, you know, but that's just the style of that platform. The sprite RPG feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that makes for an interesting question. Would, you know, if developers listen to us and stuff like that, or listen at all, would you be, you know, it's like the good writer, you know, you get some very good writers writing some games like To the Moon and this and a couple other, you know, these RPG scrollers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, would people be willing to spend a little more for a more interactive sort of, like, you know, good graphic kind of, you know, to put the graphic layer and the interaction layer on top of the story.
You know, for stuff like To the Moon and Raccoon, I think doing that would distract from the overall story they're trying to tell.
Okay.
Where it's, I think it would be, I don't know. It's one of those things where, it's an engrossing but somewhat simpler story, but the art style and everything lends to that type of storytelling. And like I said, if they were to make it more flashy, I think they would lose something within that.
Okay.
I kind of agree. And then plus, like, this, this kind of style of game, you know, the sprite style, you know, kind of classic RPG, I think that draws in, if you would say, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I think that it would take away from the story if you would put, I mean, not that games with good graphics can't have really good stories, because they can, but I think just what I was saying, which I completely, you know, the story's engrossing, but it's also simple, and I think trying to put, like, really, like, you know, not really good graphics, but putting, like, flashier graphics or prettier graphics onto it, or putting it more into a 3D space than a 2D space, I think would almost, I think that it wouldn't have the same quality, because in playing it like this, you're focused on the story. Graphics should be focused more on the environment, on the game, you know, the gameplay.
Okay.
All kinds of different aspects into it, rather than just focusing on to get out.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you know, you have games like What Remains of Edith Finch, where it's, you know, sort of a simple story, but I think if that was done in this sort of, like, 8-bit sprite-based thing, then I don't think it would have been as engrossing as a story and everything. You know,
yeah.
Like, that type of storytelling really needs that extra, like, pop to
atmosphere.
to really bring you into it.
Yeah, the house was so weird. If it wasn't done in first person, yeah, I think it would lose a lot.
Yeah,
but I also think that Raccoon and other games like this are kind of trying to pitch themselves as a particular genre, like in the JRPG genre. And so if that's the audience you're going for, you kind of, there's somewhat of an expectation to look a certain way.
Okay, stick to your, right.
Plus you get these people that, you know, they want to make a game, they want to tell a story, they may necessarily not have the skills to do full immersion 3D graphics, or might not even have the budget for it. And Yep. You know, this kind of helps them
get the story out.
And you know, package it in a way that it isn't in engrossing and whatnot. So
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, you have you know, I think you have a lot of developers, like, that's why you have a lot, you know, you have such a surge of indie games now, is you have a lot of developers kind of tell a good story and not have to have, like, graphics that cost thousands of dollars to create, to have a staff to create those.
I've read an article, I think it might have been Game Informer or something, where they were asking, or it might have been, like, in the letters section or something like that, where they were basically asking what is up with the, with indie games now kind of going towards the 8-bit sprite-based, you know, art style. And, you know, because we're, you know, this is the 21st century and we have these powerful computers and gaming consoles that handle, you know, all these fantastic graphics, and yet people are coming out with all these, like, sprite-based games and everything. And basically the person replied back saying, a lot of these people that are developing indie games are coders and not artists, and aren't that rich and don't have the backing of a multi-million dollar studio, and are usually, like, one or two people teams that are making these games. And they'd rather produce a game that has a great story or a really fun gameplay than spending all this money or time really doing these, like, high intensive 3D graphics and everything. So, and it helps the game come out faster too, because you don't have to spend all this time on designing a, you know, characters and backgrounds and all that type of stuff. So,
also nostalgia. A lot of the people that have money to spend on games are people that grew up playing these when that was the cutting edge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I guess the price point helps as well. You know, you're only asking $10 for a game like this, where, you know, that's not a big, you know, load to lift. People will be more apt to take a chance on it, you know?
Yeah, I think that's been, like, one of my thing. The most surprising thing, I think, that has came out for me doing this group is because we've done these kind of, like, because, like, before this, I kind of, something like this, and been like, I used to be like, well, I like my games with good graphics. Like, you know, I like things to look pretty. I like things, you know, and start, you know, since having this group and playing the games that we have, and we play games like this and, like, To the Moon, that, you know, you're going to have this simple looking game and thing that you would play back in, like, the late 80s or early 90s. And it's still, like, as I said, To the Moon, like, I cried during the entire last half of that game. Like, it really affected me, and one of the most surprising things that's came out of this for me is just seeing that. So yeah, like, their stories can have an emotional impact with just being what they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question, Franco. And
you're welcome.
That is a lovely, lovely discussion. Wow.
Well, yeah, you want to talk about, well, go ahead. I was going to tell a story, but I used to work with this guy who was a really hardcore, the dungeon crawler, but I mean, he's in the 90s when it was all text-based. So he would sit there and writes, you know, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm writing a script. Because you would get a dungeon room somewhere, and he's like, there's, you know, it just keeps regenerating, you know, whatever, how many gold or whatever stuff. And he would write a script to go in and out of the room, text-based, you know, or, you know, it's like, go left, go up, go left, yeah. go up, go left, go up, open the door. It's like, oh my god.
Wrote a script to farm his
to dog. Farm, yeah, farming scripts. And I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, I think I've played one game like that on our old family computer, like when I was younger. And just watched my brother play one. And then I think I watched it because I was still kind of young then. But I was, like, there when my brother was playing one. And I was just like, that's crazy. Yeah.
It's like you definitely need a notepad right next to you.
And there was an old game that he used to have. I think it was, D-U-N-E. And I think that it was text-based, I think. Like, you had to type in directions for, you know.
Yep.
Oh, to the point, you didn't even, that's all you saw was text.
Yep.
There was zero graphics. You just had to use your imagination. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Zork, which was, like, the one that got the most popularity out of all of them.
Yeah.
There's, they created one for Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
That one's pretty fun.
They created it then? Or, like now?
No,
like,
it's...
Like, as a spoof?
It actually follows the story. I think I've gotten as far as the spaceship, and that's all I could do at that point, but...
I remember I played that as well. It adds, you know, imagine this. You have this, you know, imagination of a strictly text-based game, right? And then the oddity and the strangeness of Hitchhiker's Guide. So things you have, you would never even imagine of using them in real life. Like the towel or the orange and, you know, stuff like that.
And expect to die a lot if you ever play it.
game came out in February, Stories Untold, which was like a four little mini stories that all fit together. And the first and the last one are like that, where it's a text-based thing.
Wow.
It's pretty interesting. If you like Stranger Things, I guess. And you would
fascinating.
It takes about 3 hours to get through.
It's No, that sounds awesome. I'm looking at it on Steam right now. That's awesome. Oh, Stanton posted.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I remember that.
The BBC did a 30th anniversary one with they updated it to have like a graphical view of the room you were in, which is kind of cheating in a way. Because
I was gonna say, I mean, helpful if you've never done one of these before, but
yeah,
I think that's kind of how Dune was that it had the text, but then you also had like a little map or something that you could look at.
Some of them did have a very rudimentary map as well. But that was kind of later on when the technology started to advance just a little bit.
So many good things. Okay.
Yeah.
I have like Stories Untold they pulled up on Steam. I'm like, add to cart.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's good.
Interesting things like that. Okay. Great. I'll report back whenever I get around to playing it. The 50 other unplayed Steam games in my library.
Only 50?
Yeah. Well, I've held myself back because my computer was crap.
Yeah.
And so, like, I couldn't play anything that was like extremely graphical or extremely like that had Firewatch, I had to play like on the lowest graphical set, like the lowest graphic setting.
Judging.
Which now I can go back and since my laptop is a little more powerful, and play that and have to play that again. But yeah, so I've been very
go back and play everything in Ultra. Ultramode 4K.
This feels so good, guys. Oh my gosh. Life has meaning. Yeah, so, I mean, I'm definitely excited. I mean, it's a little, you know, because we kind of only went through the beginning of the story. We're just kind of now getting started.
Yeah.
I mean, things definitely, I mean, things pick up a little bit. I mean, it's still kind of like to the moon, you know, it's kind of slow paced, but, you know, it's there to tell a story. You're basically reading a story and, you know, and just kind of walking around. There's some puzzles. But I've enjoyed the second part. I'm definitely interested in seeing where the characters go and in finding out like what's going on with this hospital and what's about the radiation and the flooding and definitely interested in where that's leading to.
Good. So what's our what's the stopping point for phase two?
Let me pull up my directions. And I'm blah, 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 blah. Okay, so again, it's going to be like same time, probably about 2.5 hours of gameplay. Because you kind of explore Tony's story a bit, but you stop after you return the fixed music box to Tony. You kind of go back to your, you know, back to your hospital room, and Yami visits you again. You find out that like Kisaburo is your next story that you want to do, but you stop then. Like after you return the fixed music box to Tony, it kind of goes into this long kind of like 10-minute, kind of cut scene to where you just hit spacebar to, you know, and read a bunch of text, and then it'll let you kind of walk around and just save it and stop.
Okay.
You'll be, I mean, I don't think it spoils anything. You'll be doing the first set of people that you cover, which I kind of told you at the end of the first part, was you learn more about and Winston. And then, so.
Cool.
Yeah, so two stories. You're like stopping after Gimma and Winston's story, but have, and I was like, well, this is going to take like 5-6 weeks if we do that. So 2.5, you know, so it's about the same, I think, amount of time as what you put into the first part. So for me, it was like 2.5 hours, but say that one thing I do enjoy, which kind of cheated me, was like this anyways. I mean, these puzzles are really simple, but like they're not like hitting your head. Like I need to look up a walkthrough. There was one in the second part that I almost looked up a walkthrough for, but I finally. But.
There were parts in Gemma's story where you would flip a switch, and it's like, okay, where I thought it was going to be is not where it actually is. So.
Yeah, but. Yeah. It's just hard enough.
Yep.
But I'm glad you guys enjoyed the first part, and we'll meet again next week to discuss part two.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too.
You too.